a trap. They're going to set a trap. And if we know what they are when we get into this new year, we will be more apt to avoid them. So I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. And this particular verse is also repeated in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it is destruction." Do we have that scripture for the screens? There it is. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." In other words, we may think in our natural assessment that this is the way we ought to go, but if we're not careful, we'll end up in a destruction or we'll end up in a death. See, here's what happens to the human mentality. The way that seems right is usually the path of least resistance. The way that seems right is usually the place that's most comfortable or that brings the most pleasure. So it seems right, it's not resisting, it's pleasurable, it's more comfortable, so this seems right. But we rarely look at the end of that path. Because we are people who have been groomed by the Western mentality to feel good now. We have lost delayed gratification. We believe that we can sow and reap at the same time. We believe that if we're not reaping, we're not sowing. But let me tell you something. A harvest has a season. Mark chapter 4 tells us that there is a season for a seed. And if you get too anxious, if you expect your result immediately, you know, the 1 minute cocoa in the microwave and the fast food through the drive-through. You see, we in this generation have looked for the path of least resistance. I'm going to say something this morning. In 2008, look for some major resistance. Walk that way. Look for where it's not comfortable. Walk that way. Look for where there's no pleasure and seems like it's not going to work. Walk that way. Why? Because that is the place that the enemy doesn't want you to go. Because when it comes out easy, it's like a lure. It's like a trap. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, it must be the devil because this is too hard. I mean, that's the devil. Oh, this is God. Oh, man, this is just flowing. This, everything's coming together. Let me tell you something. Proverbs chapter 6 says that there is a woman who calls out and says, walk the path. In verse 8 of Proverbs 6, the path right by her house. She lays out her bed. She has all the perfume. Her husband is gone. He does not know that he is walking into a place of utter destruction. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he's going to end up in hell. We have been groomed to live in comfort. We've been groomed to live in the place and take the path of least resistance. But the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you didn't tell us to resist, if he didn't tell us to resist, then everything should be easy. But it's not going to be easy. The Bible tells us about those that desire to live a godly life shall be, not maybe, shall be persecuted. Many are the tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. See, Satan has camouflaged the path of blessing and the path of success with struggle and hardship and discomfort. And so we choose the path of least resistance. Oh, I'm on to him. I'm on to him now. I know that I'm not concerned about a tough day because I'm looking at the end of this thing. I'm not looking at where I'm at right now. I know the end of this thing. God has promised that he'd never leave me, never forsake me. God has promised that I'm above and not beneath. God has given me a witness in my spirit. I may be going through a struggle and a tough time right now, but joy comes in the morning. So when we go into 2008, look for the hard pathway. Look for the place that's resisting you. And what's required is a deeper connection. Would you say that with me? Deeper connection. Nehemiah chapter 1. We find that Nehemiah was presented a hard path. Nehemiah was presented a discomforting word. He said, Israel is destroyed. Jerusalem's walls are crumbled and burnt. There's not one gate standing. The people have been scattered. Nehemiah says, sounds like God's into something right here. But what did he do? He connected. So it was when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He goes on in chapter 2 in verse 4. And he again declares. He said, I had to start fasting. And I had to start praying before God. He said, what do you request? He said, I can't tell you what I want until I talk to God. I can't move in my own understanding. I can't presume that I'm going to do anything until I talk to God. Let me warn us. Stop moving without God's sanction. Stop engaging without God's engaging. In other words, we need to get a divine connection. I have made decisions in my life as of recent, the last 5 years, that I made without consulting God. Now don't look at me, you have too. You say, well, Pastor, I can't believe it. You actually did something without consulting God. Well, I pray every day, but I didn't pray and fast about that choice. I said, well, this must be God's plan. Boy, this is an opportunity. And guess what? The path was not good. Sometimes when you take a wrong turn, even though you found out you took the wrong turn, you're 25 miles in the wrong direction. And the only way to get back is to turn it around and drive 25 miles. There are no shortcuts to a wrong decision. Some of us are living in the wrong decisions we've made in 2006 and 7, and we're still driving back to the starting point. You've been driving all year and haven't made any progress. All you're doing is burning gas and taking up time. Come on, church, you know what I'm talking about? And sitting in the car and trying to justify the reason why you're on the wrong road. Your wife's trying to tell you, I told you so. I told you you shouldn't have went that way. And you're saying, honey, I knew where I was going. I went this way before and I knew this was going to work. Well, it didn't work, did it, huh? Didn't work, did it? Well, it didn't work. Shut up. I don't even want to talk to you. And we're all up in a tizzy about making a wrong turn, making a wrong decision. And now we have to get back to the original place. And I believe God is saying, listen, in 2008, no more wrong turns. No more detours. No more wrong paths. Not going to be sucked in by comfort and pleasure. We often make decisions based on our natural assessments. And these may not always be accurate. For example, trends or what the market is saying. Have you ever made an investment in the stock market based on what those guys are saying on CNN? Bad decision. Why? Because they don't have a divine connection. See, we ought not to ever buy stock in anything until God says, go ahead and buy it. We ought to call on God and say, God, is this a company I should invest in? Is this a personal investment I'm going to make? Is this something you want me to do? Is this something I should choose, God? It seems good to the trends and to the markets and to the analysis, and my friends are all doing it. But God, is it something you want me to do? There's three major pitfalls that I believe are going to happen in 08. I believe the Holy Spirit gave these to me. Three major things that we're going to have to avoid. You may want to write them down and judge it at the end of next year. Number one, there are wrong paths that will be presented to you immediately after the new year. There was a man by the name of Balaam whom God told him, don't go there. He got himself a donkey, got up on the donkey and said, I'm going anyway. And the donkey kept trying to tell him by running him into the wall, don't go there. Finally, the donkey got so anointed, he turned around and told Balaam, you are ignorant. What are you doing? The donkey actually talked to him to try to tell him to get off the path that he was on. The angel of the Lord stood on that path in fiery flames of glory and told him, what are you doing? You're on the wrong path. Let me tell you something. Do not take a pathway, a decision. I don't care if it's like, well, I just feel like God's leading me to another church. He might be doing that. But sweetheart, you better be very careful if it's comfortable, pleasurable, or something you want. You say, well, maybe God's leading me to get married. Hold on now. You better be careful. First of all, he's got to have a job. He's got to be able to quote Romans 6. And you got to bring him to me and let me hear him speak in tongues. If he can't do those three things, he just may not be for you. That's a wrong path. All right? Number two, hidden traps. There are hidden traps that are presented before us. For example, David. David decided to count Israel. As a matter of fact, in that passage, when he conducted a census, it says that the devil tempted him to do it. It was a matter of his own pride. It was a wrong decision. It was a hidden trap. It's like Bathsheba. It was a hidden trap. It was to cause a detour in the growth and the direction of David's life. It was to try to cause a delay in the development of his destiny. You want to write that down. A delay in the development of destiny. DDD. A delay in the development of destiny. And so it was a hidden trap. And it cost David. It not only cost David, it cost what David was connected to. Israel suffered as a result of him taking a census. So we see number one, wrong path. Number two, hidden traps. Number three, non-covenant relationships. Non-covenant relationships. These are three things that we need to avoid in 2008. What do I mean by that? Nehemiah avoided a relationship with Sanballat and Tobiah. Even though Sanballat sent him a letter and said, "What, you know, just come on down here. Let's just talk about this. Let's see if we can't get a relationship going." He said, "I don't have time to deal with you. How and why should I leave such a great work to come down and talk to you?" See, when you get involved in a non-covenant relationship, in other words, a person that you're getting too close to that doesn't serve the living God. All right. When you get involved in relationships of people who don't walk with the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about this because they call themselves Christians. I'm reading a book now that tells me George Barna just did a survey that out of Christians that were surveyed, if they had committed any of the following acts over the next 30 days to check yes, 35% of those polled said they'd either been on an internet pornography site, had been out drinking, they had had an illicit affair, they had taken drugs or something else in the last 30 days. 35% of those that profess to be Christians. When they asked the same amount of people in the world, only 30% said yes. There were actually more people in the church who profess Christ as their Savior that were involved in these things than those that don't even say they know Christ. So non-covenant relationships, I'm not talking about people who say, "I have a mental assent about Jesus." I'm talking about somebody that carries the goods. Everybody says, "Carry the goods." Say it one more time, "Carry the goods." In other words, they got a love for the Holy Spirit. They have a divine connection. That when you talk to them, the words out of their mouth are talking covenant words. You want to avoid non-covenant relationships. Later in that whole story of Nehemiah came back to the temple, and guess who's living in the temple? Guess who was living right in the temple? Gave him a little room up in the temple. Sanballat, who was the absolute worst enemy to Israel and tried to thwart the progress of rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls, And Nehemiah said, what in the world is he doing in the church? He just didn't attend the church. He was living in the church. Y'all ought to read that in Nehemiah. It's a pretty powerful story. What did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah said, you get that boy out of here now. Tear his house out. Or I'm going to take you and tear you from one side to the other. And you know how Sanballat got in? Do you know the connection? Some of you do. You read your Bible. Others are not really familiar with that story. You need to read the story. You know what it was? The priest was his son-in-law. Sanballat's son-in-law was the priest. It was hooked up through non-covenant relationships. They didn't have a covenant with God, but they worked their way into the kingdom to bring destruction upon Israel. And Nehemiah wouldn't have none of it. Did you know that Nehemiah said, okay, let me just talk about this non-covenant relationships. He said, I want you to know, anybody in here that's got a foreign wife that's not Israel, that's not Hebrew, you got to divorce her. In other words, you're not allowed to have a pagan wife who worships other gods. And did you know out of 42,000 people that were living in Jerusalem at that time, only about 127 had foreign wives? Now, if you read Nehemiah 8 and 9 and talk about how Nehemiah came and said, look, we got to get this thing right. This is something that we broke a commandment for. You'd think all 42,000 had a pagan wife, 127 people. But Nehemiah said, I don't care if it's 100 or if it's 10, it's too much. In other words, Nehemiah would not tolerate, please hear me, and I know it gets better. Nehemiah would not tolerate people in his life who compromised. Let me say that one more time. Nehemiah would not tolerate people in his life that compromised the word of the Lord. Selah. We got to think about this for a minute. We can't allow people that are in our life who are compromising God's word. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You don't need a lot of leaven to affect the entire loaf, do you? Just a little leaven. And that's what Jesus said. So those are the three things that I believe we need to watch for and to avoid in 2008. Now in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God spoke to the prophet and he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Now, if that's true, for the heavens are higher than the earth. Everybody say higher.
Higher.
So are my ways higher, say higher,
higher,
than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, the implication is, God says heaven is higher. He also said my ways are higher, and the implication is my thoughts are higher. So my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher, and so is heaven higher. In other words, where you live, all my ways and all my thoughts are far above where you live. In other words, you can't reach any of my thoughts, any of my ways, in my kingdom where you live. They're higher than you. Now, when I began to meditate on that, I said, well, God, what do I do for 2008? If your thoughts and your ways and your kingdom, your heaven, is higher than where I live, I'm in trouble. And this is what he said by the Spirit of the Lord. He said, you're not in trouble because Jesus said it was expedient that I go away, that the Comforter might come. Matter of fact, John 16 says that when he comes, he will what? Guide you into all truth. In other words, this divine connection between heaven and earth is vital for 2008. Meaning, I cannot operate in God thoughts, God ways, kingdom mentality without this connection. If I think I can interpret the scripture with my own human reasoning, you are mistaken.
Right.
There is no way on earth that we could think God thoughts, operate in God ways without an advocate, without a helper. Look at somebody and say, you need help in 2008. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you following me so far? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, who may know or who has known the mind of the Lord? In other words, his thoughts are beyond us. They're way up here. So for me to get to them, I've got to somehow connect to them. I have the mind of Christ. God has given me the mind of Christ. So I have the ability to think God's thoughts. Are you following me? Some of you aren't following me because you're still, you know, talking to your neighbor. I know this is, I'm just trying to help you for 2008. So focus just for 20 more minutes and I'm gonna quit. You can go home and eat and do whatever you want to do. But listen, I'm serious. I'm trying to help us. Okay, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we have the concept. We have the capability of thinking God thoughts. And we have the concept and the thinking, the mind of God. We have the ability to operate in God's ways. But they're not here on earth. He said, my ways and my thoughts are higher. In other words, they're in heaven. So go back to verse 10 of that same chapter. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? So, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is able to take the thoughts of God that are in the heavens, that are in the kingdom, and make them known to the mind of Christ that we've been given. Through the blood of Christ. We have the mind, we have the capability. That's why when the Holy Spirit gives you revelation, your mind goes, whew, man, that's good. Because the natural mind could never understand that. That's why until you're born again, ooh, I love this. Until you've received Christ, you don't have the mind of Christ. You can go to church, you can read the Bible, the Holy Spirit could be trying to reveal things to you, and you won't understand it. You'll say, I can't get nothing out of this Bible. Because your mind has to be renewed. You have to have the mind of Christ. So our divine connection in 2008 is the Holy Spirit. Your greatest asset, you want to write this down. My greatest asset on earth is an unbroken connection with heaven. My greatest asset on earth is not your broker. It's not your network of people. It's not your education. All those things are helpful. But your greatest asset on earth is an unbroken relationship with heaven. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. So I've got to be careful I don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Because if I grieve the Holy Spirit, what happens? My connection with heaven is broken. And then I'm on my own. I'm going to take a wrong path. My GPS doesn't work. When the GPS doesn't work, I take wrong turns. When I take wrong turns, my divine destiny is delayed. My divine destiny is delayed. You see, the devil can't defeat the plan and purpose of God for your life, but he can delay it long enough till you die. And some of us are just keep taking wrong turns year after year after year after year. We're not making any progress. We're just burning gas. And I thought, Lord, in 2008, I'm not burning just burning gas. I'm going somewhere. But see, here's the key, though. I may know San Antonio, Texas exists. And I know it's in Texas. And I know it's south. But I need directions to get there. Some of us know the will of God. We know what God expects us, but we need directions to get there. But some of us, like men, we don't want to stop and ask. We're too proud to ask for directions. Somebody wake that girl up over there that's sleeping. It's too good for you to sleep, honey. You'll end up in the bowels of hell, wake up one day and say, boy, I was sleeping through in church. I never even heard the preacher. I work too hard on this message and call and pray and people come up here sleeping. You see your daughter or son sleep, get up. Amen? Come on, we can sleep this afternoon when the Browns, whatever they do. Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to help you for 2008. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. See, I came off vacation to preach this for you. My family's in Florida. I take 2 weeks every year, but I flew home last night just to preach. Right. You want to come in here and sleep? Anyway, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Everybody say, let us run.
Let us run.
See, when you run a race, you're given a lane. When you run a race, you're given a lane. If you get out of the lane, you're disqualified. You got to stay in your lane. Your lane is your assignment. Your lane is your purpose. Your lane is the vision that God has for your life. Your lane is what you want to identify. Stay in it and run with endurance in that assignment. Stop changing lanes. Some people say, well, I believe God's called me to do this month. Next month, God's called you to do that. Then next month, God's called you to do that. Then you're going to start this ministry. Then you're going to go start that ministry. Then you want me to help you. Wait a minute. Whatever happened to the other ministry? Well, I got there, but it got hard. It got hard. Well, that must be God if it got hard, because you're choosing the path of least resistance. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 says, to run how? With certainty. Let me share this with you. Eliminate non-essentials in 2008. Run with certainty. If you're not certain, don't you do it. If you're not absolutely certain this is God, get away from it. Don't touch it. Run with certainty. Certainty breeds confidence. And confidence has its reward. We run into a little resistance and we quit. Can't quit. Discovering your place in life is what's called vision. But watch this. Frustration sets in when you're driven by ambition rather than vision. We become ambitious. You know what's driving this generation? Money. We want money. I'm going to invest. I'm going to deal. I don't care if it's a little shady. I don't know if God told me to do it or not. But honey, this is too good to pass up. We are more ambitious than we are vision oriented. We can't allow the lure of money to deter us or take us out of our lane. You see, vision is the unfolding of God's master plan for your life. But direction is how you accomplish that master plan. Vision is the master plan. Direction is how you get it. I'm going to Los Angeles, but my triptych from AAA is how I get there. Without the directions, I'll never get there. I may get there, but it might take me twice as long. It might take me forever. I then rely upon people to get me there. And I may stop at a garage or gas station and ask somebody, how do you get to Route 41? They'll say, well, I'll see, you go up here off the corner and you turn left. And the guy behind him said, no, you don't turn left, you turn right. Have you ever had that experience? I've had that experience 100 times. And I'm thinking, my God, I'm on vacation. I got to get there. I got a timeline. And I'm talking to people that don't even know how to get there. So we're talking to people that don't even know how to get to the destination of our divine appointment. When God has an accurate direction booked for us, and we're having to rely on people who say, turn on the left by the big flagpole there. There's a flagpole on the left and a school on the right. No, wait a minute. There's a school on the right. I think the school's on the left, and there's a CVS on the right. That's right. Turn left right there. And you pull away and you go, now what did he say? Turn left at the flagpole? Or she goes, well, I'm not sure. Maybe you better go back. I said, I ain't going back. I'll just feel it. Have you ever tried to feel a direction? I've done this. This is stupid, but I've done it. I have to admit it. I've been driving. I said, honey, I really believe we're not supposed to turn left. She said, no, I think it was right. I said, honey, I know. I feel like we're supposed to go left. About 25 miles down the road, I go, you know what? I was feeling wrong. I should have listened to you all along. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. There is an evil I've seen under the sun as an heir proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. Now, what are we talking about? When a king refuses instruction, he becomes a pauper. Have you ever noticed that kings have advisors? I don't care if you're the president of the United States. You got a room full of people that want to tell you what to do. We need to consult the instructions, the directions. Wisdom is the how-to or the direction. James 1, 5, and 6 said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God's wisdom is his instructions. It's his direction. It's God's direction. I believe that our direction lies within obedience to the instruction. Let me say that again. Our direction or our wisdom, our direction that we take in our divine destiny lies within obedience to the instruction that we've been given. That's Proverbs 8:33. If we don't do what the word tells us to do, we can't get the direction. Direction lies within the obedience of instruction. God's instructing us how to live today. God's instructing us how to live. I don't care how postmodern you are. Your postmodern interpretation does not change God's word. And I'm finding out this generation doesn't want it changed. They just want to see somebody live it. They want to see somebody real and stop being hypocritical. When this generation looks at a church, they look at a church of 35% of the people who are more involved in the worldly things than the world itself and still call themselves believers. Come on, church, are you hearing me this morning? Yep. It's time for us to be able to declare to the Lord my obedience to the wisdom of God. The instruction of God has given me direction on how to fulfill my divine appointment in my life. You may have a mandate from God today, but you don't have the approach to that band-aid. Your life will not respond until it hears God's instructions. You have been designed to respond to God's command. You know, it's like a robot that's been programmed to a voice. You have a voice-activated phone? Anybody have one of those? Call home. If I got on there and said that, would it respond? It might. What about a robot that's come here? The robot looks at you. Because it doesn't calibrate your voice. It's like God saying, be blessed. And you respond. But the world has given us instructions and our divine destiny. It won't respond. We've been designed to respond only to our Creator. That's why many of us are in a stalemated position. We're not moving forward in God. See, if I was going to go into 2008, which I am, I would look for ways and means of where I've lacked obedience to divine instruction. Because I know that if I've lacked obedience to divine instruction and correct that, I'm going to get new direction for 2008. Because direction lies within obedience of instruction. Does that make sense to us this morning? All right, you see what I'm saying? So I can't afford to be disobedient to God's word. It's not just trying to be good, be a good Christian, I can be obedient. No. There's direction inside those instructions. And my obedience to the instruction, I mean, just, it doesn't matter, tithing, serving, ministering, Holy Spirit prompts you to go do some good deed for somebody, you say no. See, it's not the deed as much as it is the direction that's inside that instruction that you'll get for being obedient to it. On your way to doing it, A couple days ago, we had this van we were driving, and it kept breaking down. And had to keep jumping it, killing the battery, jumping it, killing the battery. Well, I don't know anybody in that area. I don't knock on doors early in the morning. People liable to do something to you if they're not waking them up early. So I called AAA. AAA, we'll be there in an hour. Then he called back and said, well, it's going to be a little longer. I said, oh, Lord, I can't wait. I got to catch a plane, come back home and preach. So I went next door, and I found a person who would jump the car. And then the night before it happened, I had to find another person. And so I was getting ready to go to the airport, and I'm real busy, and I'm trying to go rent a car and take this one to the dealership to get it fixed. And I'm all nervous and, you know, trying to do what I have to do. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, are you going to say thank you? I said, for what? He said, for those two people who jumped your car. I said, Lord, I ain't got time for that. I got to get to the airport. I got to get home. I got to preach tomorrow. I mean, I got two churches to go preach to. He said, "Go. Are you going to say thankful? Are you going to say you're thankful? I said, well, yeah, but why? He said, because wholeness is in thankfulness. Weren't there not 10 lepers that got healed and only one came back? He went away whole. He said, in other words, if you're obedient to this, there is going to be direction inside of my instruction. So I asked Tina, I said, Tina, you got a couple of cards? She goes, for what? I'm going to write thank you cards for these people. She said, well, I think that'd be great. So I sat down and wrote them and I sealed them up. And I said, no, wait a minute. I'm just going to say thank you. I'm going to put $5 in there and say, have a coffee on me or a latte on me. I said, all right, I'll do it. So I did it. And so I knocked on the door. The guy was outside. I went to his house. He was outside. I said, hey, Scott, I said, I just want to thank you. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, Scott is mine. And I've set this up for you to befriend him and tell him about me. Amen. And I said, here's a thank you card for, oh, you didn't have to do that. He goes, really, this is awesome. I didn't realize that he's from Cleveland. He's an Ohio State Buckeyes fan. He's got two children, 4 and 1 years of age. And God spoke to me and gave him a thank you card. Had I not taken that thank you card, and then I went across the street and Melissa, I said, Melissa, I just brought this card to say thank you and put it in your hand. And another person was there that I had met 2 years earlier. She said, hey, Mr. Canton, how are you? And I went, oh, I wish I remembered your name. And God spoke to me. There is direction when you're obedient to divine instruction. You really need to write that down. Because God will release instruction and direction through his instruction. You see, our destiny is designed to hear and respond only to God's directives. That's why I got to be careful that I don't listen to people. Now, it's good to hear wisdom in the counsel of many, but I've got to make sure God tells me this is the thing to do. And I've been guilty having reliance on people that I believe were mature and responsible. They gave me counsel and I went on it. And guess what? It was a wrong move. Were they wrong? No, I was wrong. Why? Because I didn't call on God like Nehemiah. I'm making a choice for 2008 to only speak what I believe. Now, there's a whole sermon right there. Only speak what I believe. And in 2008, don't make a move unless God says move. I'm believing for debt-free for this church in 2008. I'm believing God's going to give us a building in Beechwood. 1,800-seat Catholic church is for sale, $3.7 million. It's come down to $2.5 million. I need some kings of the east to give me some gold, frankincense, and myrrh. One king called, said, if you buy that, I'll buy 4 acres from you. That's $1 million. I talked to my second king yesterday. He called me. I didn't call him. Now, he didn't say he's going to give me the money yet, but he said he's going to be talking to his partners about a deal. I said, you just, you know, whatever God says. But Moses said this in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 15. If you don't go, I don't go. He said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. If I don't sense the presence of God in my tomorrow, I'm staying in my today. I'm not changing a thing. I'm not moving anywhere. No, not unless I feel that I know God's presence has gone before me. Resist the least resistance. Resist the comfort and pleasures of this world. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's God. Most Christians believe that, you know. We believe that if things are going well and it's easy, boy, this must be God. I think 2008 will be the opposite. And we're ready now for it. We're not going to be trapped. Amen? We're not going to be trapped. Because I've come here this morning to release a word to bring victory in your lives in 2008. I mean, I'm like, my face is like flint. I don't care what anybody else does, says, think, doesn't matter to me. I know whom I have believed in. And I know what God is about to do. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. I love this verse. It says, the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and who leads you by the way you should go. I am the Lord your God who teaches. I give directions. Not Wall Street. Not your neighbor. Not your coffee clutch. Not your girlfriend. I am the Lord that teaches you to profit. I am the one that leads you by the way you should go. God said, there is no other God. Have no other gods before me. I said, God, no other gods. If you don't say it, I'm not doing it. If you don't declare it, I'm not believing it. If you don't tell me to move, I'm not going. This morning, we need to make a covenant to do nothing unless we hear from heaven. Would you do that right now? Would you just put your Bible aside, lift a hand before the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Father, I just right now make a covenant that I will not do a thing unless I hear from heaven. And some of us right now need to repent of past decisions we've made. Ask God for mercy, and He'll get you out of the situation. You went and did it without asking God. Now you're in the wrong direction. You're having to take the time to get back. But God says this is a turnaround time. And you can repent of it, and He will cause you to recover from it. Because He's a merciful God. His mercies are new every morning. Right where you sit, ask God to forgive you. And He'll do it. Praise God. Then make a covenant for 2008 that you'll never make another decision without first consulting Him through His Word. That you have a divine connection. Come on. Your greatest asset on earth is your connection to heaven through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now Troy is going to come. And we're going to share with you opportunity to impact a generation. Impact a world. For Christ, to impact a generation that is looking for the authentic. Aren't you glad for the authentic? Aren't you glad that Jesus is real? Now, as I leave this morning, I don't want anybody to get offended because I woke up some people from sleeping. I don't want you to get offended, okay? But I'm not committed about me preaching as much as I am God's word that He gave. That's all. It ain't about me. Amen. I'm nothing but a messenger boy that brings the message. That's all I am. When I was in the Navy, I'm going to go. When I was in the Navy, I was the captain's messenger boy of my ship. I came from the communications room directly to his cabin, knocked on the door. Come in. Good evening, sir. Good evening, sailor. Sir, I have a message for you. And I walked out and I said, I'm bad. God said, You didn't originate the message. You didn't write the message. And it's not necessarily just for you. It's for the captain. Now go on back down to your radio room and get another one. And the captain will do what he has to do. You get what I'm saying? We're just messengers of God's love. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. We love you.
Amen. That was an incredible word, church. Amen. I believe God gave us some prophetic insight, no doubt, into our 2008 blueprint. And if you were awake, you received some revelation that's going to change your 2008 destination. So, hey, that was an amazing word. That just freaked me out a little bit. I want to talk to you this morning about a generation that's attempting to crush the neck of Satan. You see, Hollywood has an agenda, and it's inseminated by Satan. I'll just go ahead and say it. It's inseminated by Satan. Satan himself is a liar, and he has conceived Hollywood to bring to pass a generation that will destroy the work of the church. But every Thursday night, there's a group of kids who meet over there on that campus that way. And there's a group of young adults who meet back here in this room. And I'm telling you, they are thirsty for the things of God. They are thirsty for the things of God. I shared in prayer the other day. You see, when you look the way they do, and I share this with my leadership team all the time. I say, look, if you're going to look the way we do, because, you know, I just don't look like preacher looks. You know, I don't necessarily act like you would expect a preacher to act. And, so, you know, my team, they're the same way. I said, but if you're going to look like this, you got to carry the goods. So when you walk into a room and they look at you, say, it's not what you see out here. You could look, but I'm going to change the room when I come in because I bring the kingdom with me. You may look at me and say, you don't look the part, but let me tell you something. I've been with the king. I've spent time in his presence. I don't care what I look like. I got the goods, baby. And if you come to me with some sickness, I got the king who's got the remedy for the sickness. I got the king who's got the remedy for the financial distress you're in. I got the goods, baby. I carry them. I carry them in my pocket. I take them with me. And there's a generation that's got the goods. And they're on a mission to change the world. They want to pick it up, shake it up a little bit, throw it back down there for Jesus. And this morning, what we want to do is receive a missions offering. Because Fusion is going to an event called Dare to Share. Because Hollywood has aligned itself in such a way where they want to intimidate the church. They want to intimidate those between the ages of 12 and 18 to, you know, on up into their 30s. They want to intimidate them. The devil's always trying to intimidate God's children, God's people, trying to trick them and fool them. But there's an event that we're getting ready to go on with Fusion. It's called Dare to Share. It's exactly what it is. Dare, I dare you. I dare you to share it with somebody and watch God move in their life. You know, we do missions all over the world, all over this county we do missions. We're in Germany, we're in Haiti, we're in Uganda, we're in India. And this morning I want to give you an opportunity to give to that. In just a few moments you're going to watch a video about Dare to Share. And if you're in Fusion and you'd like to go to Dare to Share, it's $80. See the booth back there, the Fusion booth, and you can get hooked up. And this video will tell you a little bit more about it. Ushers, come. We want to receive a missions offering this morning. Don't feel pressured to give, but we have this commission from the Lord to change the culture. Change this culture we live in. Kick it in the gut. Change it. Jesus came, and in 33 years, he raised up 12 guys, and he changed the culture. It changed the culture. We sit here today because they changed the culture. They changed the culture. They went against what Rome said. They went against what the world said. And they changed the culture. And if you want to give this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to give to missions locally and globally. We're all over the world, church. We're doing it. We're preaching the gospel all over this world. Aren't you glad to be here? Amen. If you're giving this morning, cash, the envelopes are there before you. If you're writing checks, you can make those payable to CNC. Let's pray for it before we give. Father, thank you for this offering this morning that we're giving. We pray that it would impact this world globally and locally. Hallelujah, that your name would be glorified and magnified. Thank you for an opportunity to sow. In Jesus' name. Hey, I want to let you Studio 7ers know, tomorrow night we'll be here. It's New Year's Eve tomorrow night. Don't go hang out and do nothing stupid. Come here and hang out with us. We're gonna have lots of free food. It's free food. You guys come tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Free food, Xbox, Wii on the big screens. We're going to be playing both Xbox and Wii, so just come and hang out with us. Lots of other stuff will be going on. Play that video now, guys.
Stupid, dude.
I know that was bullshit, dude. Straight up, strictly bullshit.
What the heck am I doing here? And, you know, what's the purpose of this whole thing?
God's gonna kill you if you don't do it right.
I kind of have a little bit of a problem with organized religion right now.
Sorry, are you saying that you like, found God last night?
Seven strangers, 6 days, one unforgettable journey.
So walk down this mountain with your heart held high. Follow in the footsteps of your maker. And with this love that's gone before you and these people at your side, offer up your broken.
Let's hope they play nice. Dare to Share Ministries presents Gospel Journey.
Amen. It's Dare to Share. If you want to get hooked up with that, Fusion, if you'd like to get hooked up with that, see the booth out front, Dare to Share. And that's exactly what it is. I dare you to share your faith with somebody and watch how he takes an agnostic, an atheist, and changes their life because of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet and close this morning. Hallelujah. Can we worship him for just a minute, church? Let's worship. Hallelujah. We worship it, Jesus.
Here I am.
Come on, just lift your hands to the King this morning.
Here I am to bow down.
We worship you, Jesus.
Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together.
Thank you. We thank you this morning for prophetic insight, God, into 2008. We thank you, Lord, that you're making the direction of our life clear for 2008. As we seek you, Lord, as we find our way to you, God, as we commit our lives to you in obedience, Lord. You are fashioning and forming our tomorrow with purpose. Thank you, Lord, that there will be no spiritual devastation that will occur in 2008 because we will be obedient to the voice of the Lord. We commit, Lord, to strengthen covenant relationships and to run from non-covenant relationships. I thank you, Lord, for your presence that leads us and guides us in 2008, for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, if you need prayer this morning, our altars are open. Our altar ministers are here. If you need a personal word from the Lord or some personal ministry, that living room is for you and it's open for you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that living room is there. Don't leave here if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. As our pastor says, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you Thursday night. God bless you as you go.